the co-chairperson from the Justice Portfolio Committee apologized because he is part of the ad hoc committee that is looking parliamentary ad hoc committee on the Bikoli affair. So he will be joining us at some stage. You asked us to give his apology. Any apologies that we need to note?
Mr. Dero was also
my homeboy. I hear you guys. I know this man. He just has a logical fool. Any other apology? Yes, Mr. Dero.
To say you have to be aware that the NCOP members who serve in this committee are also serving in that ad hoc committee concerning Bikoli, and this meeting was scheduled at the same time, and I don't know why was that. Maybe I was doubting whether that side or coming here. So I think you have to note that.
Well, thank you very much. We are aware. Unfortunately, we have very little choice about the timing, especially the continuation of this consideration of what we have had. Some of it are going to have to happen in parallel, but we know that. And we appreciate your having come, as you did. Thank you very much. Yeah. Members, yesterday we had oral submissions from a variety of stakeholders. In your documentation, there's also other, well, there is a, I'm not aware that there's any other. There is a submission from Lyre School Lothbury. And there is another one from MB Kaja. Okay, that's part of the petition from the DA from the DA in Mirafong. It's a petition there. And then there's the Mirafong Construction Forum submission. And then the other are what we heard yesterday. I don't think there's any other that we have. What we are going to do now, we are going to ask the department to give us their reaction to the submission yesterday. In other words, the IEC, I think the IEC is simply expecting us to the legislature to let them know when and where is this going to happen and so that they can place the man. But the demarcation board has very specific requests and submissions that relate to the timing of this legislation, but to aspects of legislation, not immediately relevant, but subsequently going to matter. And so, and some of their proposals about the amendments of other legislation and so on, and request for an approach to the IEC about compliance with Section 23 and so on. So we're going to give the department an opportunity to respond so that we hear what they have to say to the submission, which is the procedure that we agreed to do. And then we'll take it forward from there. Who's going to lead the reaction? Funny, Betty?
Chairperson, I would just like to respond to the issue raised around Section 23 by the demarcation board.
Are you part of it?
Yeah.
Who's going to lead your reaction, General? Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Nat.
Thank you. The major issue, as I understand,
just remind the meeting about Section 23.
Yeah. Section 23 is the demarcation act. Basically, determines that Once the demarcation board has redemarcated the municipal boundary,
you didn't do so yourself. Only you and I are part of the finish idea. Everybody has been around that long now. Yes, okay.
My name is Tony Lowe with DPLG. I'm head of the legal section of the department. Section 23 of the Demarcation Act basically determines that once the Demarcation Board has redetermined the municipal boundary, that must be referred to the IEC for the IEC to make a decision, a determination, whether that demarcation would affect the political representation of the voters within the area that has been demarcated. The Merafung issue, I think all of us will agree, does affect the political representation. This is due to the fact that we're moving Merafung from one district to the other. That will result in the representation of Merafung representation in the one district being reduced and increased in the other district. So if that happens, if the IEC makes this decision that it does affect, the Demarcation Act is very clear. It says that the demarcation only comes into effect for the next local government elections. As we all know, the next local government elections are scheduled for 2011. So every intention is that with the Merafung issue is set come into operation as soon as possible before the next general election. And if we are of the view, if you look at section 2.4 of the main act, this is the 2005 act, but 2.48, I'll read it out, it says, despite any applicable provision of the Local Government Municipal Demarcation Act and the Local Government Structures Act, the proposed demarcation of the municipal, by the municipal demarcation board, by the municipality as indicated in the first column of Schedule 4, is regarded as a demarcation in terms of the Local Government Municipal Demarcation Act of that municipality. So what the intention, as I understand it as well, is this provision says it overrides the provisions of the Demarcation Act. It says, despite the provisions of the Demarcation Act, this proposed demarcation of moving their form, of changing the boundaries of the two district municipalities, will take effect in the coming operation of the Outlaw, the 2009 law. That, in short, is our understanding and the intention.
Now, just a confirmation for me. The requirement for the demarcation to come into effect on 2011 is the effect of the Local Government Amendment, what is now called Act. Is that what it is now? No. Just explain that.
The 2008 Local Government Laws Amendment Bill, all that it affects, if it does not affect the political representation, it comes into effect.
Or it qualifies it.
Yes,
okay.
If it doesn't affect the political representation, it comes into effect for the next financial year.
Yeah.
It was 1 July
yeah.
2009. Okay. But if it does affect the political representation, it takes it to 2011.
Okay.
Those are the two scenarios.
So effectively, the IEC did say that it affects it, and so there was, but they haven't responded.
That process hasn't occurred.
Yeah. Okay.
But we say that process is overridden by Section 2.4
yeah.
of the 2005 Act. That
okay.
process it becomes superfluous. And if you look at
all right.
On page 4 of the Demarcation Board submission,
yes.
it says, compliance with Section 23 of the Decommission Act may be superfluous
yes.
as Section 2.4 and then it goes on to what I've just said.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's hear any other reaction to the rest of the submissions that you see, as you said. Right.
Yes, I'm Kevo Khomet Ashupin. I'm the senior manager of the DPLG. I am going to respond to three issues raised by the MDB, and I think the rest will be the colleagues who are accompanying me. The first issue that relates to the powers and functions, the issue that was raised by the MDB in relation to the cost and functions of districts and locals. We had several discussions with the NDB where this particular issue was raised. And we have agreed that it will be addressed at a relevant forum where we will be looking at the white paper, and these other issues will be included, the input by the NDB. In relation to the other issue of provincial boundaries, the NDB has indicated that in order for us not to fiddle with the constitution from time to time, we will then have to not refer to the boundaries of provincial boundaries, but municipal boundaries. That particular issue also has been raised in previous meetings when we were discussing this particular bill. And the DPLG has taken the matter from the particular question to also be addressed, where we will be advising or taking the advice from the legal section that the constitution should, in a way, be amended. The legal suggestion by the Department of Education should be amended to refer to municipal boundaries and not as provincial boundaries. And I do not know if there are other issues that have been raised that not addressed, but I remember the two that were raised again. But this particular issue are not issues that are going to be addressed now as part of this particular bill that is being raised before Parliament now. But there is ongoing discussion between ourselves and the NDB in relation to changes that will assist our operations in the future.
I accept that, we, as a committee, we accept their frustrations that they've been raising them act in Sinuktum or whatever, and that they would like them addressed urgently and so on. So when you say that it's work in progress, we are going to note it for in the report, I guess, as an undertaking on your part, that there are ways in which you're going to be dealing with them, and that perhaps the incoming committee will require us to report to you what progress you are making on that. Okay. Yeah. Any other reactions to the submissions and so on? From the department.
Yes. My name is Makhati Jaka from DPLG, Deputy Manager. Me, I will deal with a proposed amendment to the bill by the National Treasury, where they were saying, in their comments, where they were saying Section 5 of Cross Boundary Municipalities Law to Repeal Act of 2005 should be amended to allow an authorized body to exercise effective oversight when provinces enter into protocols and service level agreements. Our response to it was that it is not necessary because the responsible department, which is DPLG, does coordinate that kind of work together with other organizations like SAUGA and National Treasury and other departments, relevant departments.
So you are not persuaded by Treasury that that is necessary? Okay. Any comment on that? Any other issues that you want to respond to?
You would recall a long talk of salvation. The issue we raised is that we said it's important that those particular agreements, implementation protocols, must be entered into before to ensure that smooth transition. But what we said, Chair, and we requested that Parliament should play that oversight role. So where Treasury says they would like a specific structure to be established to deal with that, we think Parliament could play that particular role, oversight role, to ensure indeed that the implementation of that particular protocol as agreed between the two provinces. So that is our view on that particular matter, Chair. But there are other issues that we also raised, Chair. We are really interested to find out from departments the response on those issues, in particular the ones that you raised about regarding the financial implications. What does this mean for the two provinces? What does it mean for the three affected municipalities? The department is silent on that. The other issue that we raised, is around how do we then going forward respond to other issues that could be raised by the other areas that could see this as a precedent. And those are the responses we would like to get, Chair. Thanks.
But, Tajani was here. They spoke to the finances. Why do you expect the department to speak to those issues? What are the areas about finances that you think lies with the department and not with Treasury that you think they must answer to? Anything specific there?
Chair, not really. If the department feels that they agree with Treasury, we'd want them to say that, Chair. That's really what
they must publicly say.
They must confront it.
They must confront it. They mustn't go out here and say that they were talking nonsense.
Chair, exactly. We agree with Treasury and we would want the department to confront.
Okay, now don't keep diplomatically silent. Tell us your story. What's your observations on those issues? Ask me today. Why didn't you say so in the first place? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. It's Zarani for the special advisor to the minister. Chair, the issues that are being raised, I think even yesterday I did speak to this matter. We have a team that we have put together to deal with all these issues. National Treasury is party to the particular team, just to make sure that even the implementation protocol are dealt with. The terms of reference are very clear. That team will go in and deal with those issues, including Salka is party to it. The three municipalities are party to this particular team. And this team will be reporting to the minister on all the issues. In fact, the sooner the team is announced, the sooner we are able to do our work, because we'll be on the ground and doing all these issues. The issues of the financial implications, I know I've discussed some of the issues with the head of budget at National Treasury, and it indicated to me that there is money that was transferred to the province, the site, which must come back to Gauteng as well. But then the team will deal with all those particular matters. As far as the Merafong issues in terms of the cost emanating from the chaotic situation that we had there, we had asked the municipality to give that information. I was there the Friday, not last Friday, the other Friday, just to listen to their issues and check what has been doing. Backlogs surrounding this particular matter. They have to give us an updated information. Then, as a government, we'll do cost calculations and we'll address it. But as depends, you can't deal with it alone. All the functional departments from two provinces will be involved. SALCA will be involved, represented by the municipalities, and ourselves will be running with the issues. Unfortunately, we can't speak to the figures because we don't have updated figures. And unfortunately, Mr. Treasurer is not here. We don't want to be speculative, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone who wants to follow up on that? Yes, Fanny.
Check it possibly to draw the attention to Section 5.3 of the Principal Act, which already provides for an oversight mechanism by the NCOP in the implementation of the protocols between the two provinces.
Okay.
The Parliament already has an oversight.
Okay.
And I think you will recall that yesterday during the Treasury's presentation, they referred to the Division of Revenue Bill, where they specifically apparently quite a number of transitional arrangements to deal with the finances, the financial issues that we are talking about now.
Okay.
But they haven't had time to go.
Okay. Now, okay, let me just tell you what I suspect members would be concerned about. That SALCA and the department must be asking questions about matters that they presumably are discussing in the same subcommittee. This is strange, and it creates problems, unless there's an internal communication stories that are not working in there. You see, we have an experience from another committee of the former Department of Arts and Culture, Science and Technology. And one part comes to us to lobby us not to accept the other part's submission. And we ask them, what is the other side? You know, we don't know. We just say, don't accept anything that comes from them. Have you spoken? No, we haven't spoken. So we told them to go away. and not come to us until they have met, discussed, and given us a commonly agreed position. SALGA and the department are supposed to be inseparable links. If you need myriad counseling, please come to the committee. it's crucial. No, I think it is important because this matter affects local government deeply, and we shouldn't have the situation where you wonder and not have the certainty about what the department is, or vice versa. This would be a concern that we have, that there should be continuing discussion around this issue. The petitioner, the department, what have you done and in reaction to the petitioner, what has been your response to it?
Thank you, Chair. The documents we had, we have received, Chairperson, I think they are only two that we received from, there are only four, National Treasury as well as SALGA, as well as Mr. Nell and Mr. Malusi. The other one we just received them yesterday. And our view here is very clear. I do have an attendance register here, of the members of the parties that attended the meeting. It's very clear, but some of the people said they were not consulted. I know from Portugal Chamber of Business, Mr. Mula was there and other people were also there. I've got a copy. Now, our predicament would be if somebody comes representing himself and say he's speaking on behalf of the group, and yet our process has been that we need all stakeholders so that the person, if he represents a particular group, he must be able to say, on behalf of this group, this is our position. But those two were just individuals, and even in terms of attendance register, they were not there. But those areas were represented. And when we issued the invite, we asked the municipality to do so, and everybody was invited. But you know, people will decide not to be part of the meeting, not knowing the implication of doing so, because you then waive the right to be heard at a particular session. But those who have made the presentation, not representing a particular group which is being recognized, even in the area itself, it makes life rather difficult to entertain the individual, but rather to use the group in because they have got the majority and you know where they come from and they are traceable. Our view is that we look at those that were there and were consulted, and there should be no claim that nobody was ever discriminated on the basis of our consultation. And I think we did with this issue broadly. I will give the committee the attendance register of the 1st of December so that they will know who was there and who was not there. Thank you.
Are you
going to
be able to attend the telling us? I just want to confirm this, which is what we would expect anyway. That the two that came with from the department, Malusi and Nell, that you responded to them. Did you respond to them? Did you communicate to them? Because, I mean, if you invite submissions and people submit that to you, you have the right to receive a response from yourself.
As far as I can remember, it's Mr. Nell's one, because I remember it was for the tour office, and I dealt with it personally, okay, together with the minister. The other one, I was not aware of it. It was never referred to our office.
Dealt with it, meaning you responded to it?
No,
you spoke to Nell.
No, as a department, we wrote back to him and we responded to him.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the one with the one that you didn't see. Okay. Yes, yeah.
Mm. I might have got lost. I think many things are said. You asked whether they have responded to those two or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I thought I would get an answer that said yes, but maybe.
It's yes on the one, no on the other one. Yeah. The yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Thank you very much. Citizen. On the responding website, I think if somebody writes to you, more especially on an issue like this one, Unela Ati, whatever he has said, and they wrote back to him. Now, writing back to him, they don't know. Did he ever again say to them, yes, I agree with you, or I disagree with what you wrote? Because neither they have just written a letter, refused it. So they do not know what is his reaction again on that letter. Because really, Shepherd said, now, this thing of working on demarcations every time, with complaints that we were not consulted, I was not that. He's right when he says people don't come to the meeting. But you are not sure whether that person did get the message for the meeting. That's point number one. Two, chapters and people, when you call them for a meeting, they take it very light at times. And then after the meeting has taken place, it's then that they become aroused. And now, Chairperson, these people on the lower ground, on the ground level, really some of them don't know the importance of these things. That's why they do take things light at times. But now when the pot gets cooked, then I get So I just wanted to know if Nelly went back to them to say, I received your letter and I agree with this, but I disagree with this. Because we'll finish this thing, 2 or 3 months after finishing it, it will be other complaints again. Thank you, Chair.
So
make sure that really we drill this thing so that it mustn't come back to us again. Like these four communities that are complaining right now with these partitions. Are they important or are they not important?
There's no doubt that they are important. All views are very important, and so we must answer to some of them. Yes, Ned?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think if a person may make a submission, is it not to just respond to say, yes, we have received your submission? Do you supposed to say you agree or you disagree? Is it not that you say, yes, your submission was received, thank you, then we are going to consider, as the committee, we are going to consider those submissions. What do you respond and say, yes or no? Is it not just to acknowledge the receipt? Thanks.
Okay. Acknowledging a receipt is very important, but this submission is sent to the, I assume that it was sent to the department, who have a responsibility to respond to the issues raised in the letter, in that area, in the committee that you arrive. Once we have had those responses, then we consider them as part of our processes here. On the petition story, the process of consultation, we have invited people to submit for to make submissions. We invited them to do so and so on. So those who indicated their desire to make presentations have done so. Right. Others chose to write in, and I see others have decided to write a submission, rather a petition, conducted a petition, okay, from the Dorman and Darrell's organization, the submission. Now, previously, what we did was that the four committees, again, recognizing the importance of such issues, that the NTOP, on the basis of what we have received so far, we must consider all of these matters and then make considered recommendations around them. But we must also be mindful that the NTOP has a duty to consult in the area that we are talking about. In fact, each of the provinces has a veto. Mm. So what we did the last time, we wrote a letter to each of the provinces as the chairs of the four committees, included submissions that we received from various participants, to take on board those submissions, but also to engage those people who indicated a desire for better consultation. This is how we dealt with it in the past, as the four committees in looking at this issue. I'm just suggesting that we pigeonhole this petition in that way, unless any member here has a different view. Any different views on that issue? Any other view? on how we deal with this petition issue. So, are any of these petitioners in this house, in this meeting, or they are representatives today? I'm asking because if you are here, we being a JS, we allow ad lib, and we allow to speak and address on behalf of the people.
Sometimes it's said that silence means consent, but I see here today the letterhead of the DA. I'm not really sure why they are now keeping quiet. Probably somebody at that level took the letterhead and organized this petition, you know. But I mean, I'm nobody's forced to say whatever he wants. He has got to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought probably they are more knowledgeable of how this petition came about.
Mm-hmm.
But this may clear. I think the indication I get, nobody wants to say anything, and I think can proceed with no set of petition. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
You are provoked.
Yeah, I'm actually provoked. Yeah, in fact, I was actually agreeing with what you were just indicating, that those people need to be consulted, because this petition is coming right on the ground, at the grassroots, and these are the people who are answering in that room, and they want to be heard. So, as you indicated, that the NCOP and other people need to go there to consult those people so that those people can also give their answers. Thank you.
We don't instruct the NCOP. They conduct their business in the manner in which they see fit. All we can do is to request. Okay, Domin?
Yeah, Chair, I think we all have the experience when it comes to boundary changes, that you have differences within parties, and we in the DA don't believe to stifle members and say, well, we're going to take a decision at the top and you must just fall in with that. So you have, I believe, members of all parties in that community either wanting to go the one way or the other way, and we must take the decision for the better good. I mean, if this is very serious concerns that are raised, and we agree with it, well, lucky for them, then we go their way.
Yes.
And if we don't, they must accept there's other things that we have to take into account.
Yes.
So so in that light, we must see it is a local group that strongly feels that
yes.
they should stay in Northwest.
Yes.
And but I mean, we must look at the bigger picture. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes.
Look, I read my comments on the fact that, I mean, the letterhead indicates which organization might have been party to this. And I think we sometimes have to provide leadership and explain to people and assist them in whatever decision that they may take.
Yeah.
It's not a top-down approach, but I think it's a question of sometimes having to provide leadership. Because these matters are complicated and sensitive as well.
Mm-hmm.
But say, just for clarity, I don't know the area very well. But I know Kokoti to be a township of a particular little town that is actually fast developing. I just want to be clear, okay, that the prisoners are there, probably that they may know. Does this incorporate the other side of that area? Because Kokoti, I know it's a little township somewhere, you travel about 5 kilometers out of the CBD, let me put it that way. You travel about 5 kilometers out of the CBD. Now, if it's Kokoti, then I think the numbers are very minuscule, as much as the tradition is here. If maybe there's a mistake to put Kokoti there, then it's something to think about if it involves the other side of there's a little town, I can't remember its name. But I know Kokoti is a little township, so if I can get clarity there.
Yeah. No, I mean, the geographic location is good to explore, to try and understand it. Wherever they are inside Mirafo. And so there are numbers. The point we must always make is every view is important and significant. And I like Domen's point that which we made yesterday, that in addition to people's views, there are other considerations that are important that must be taken on board in making decisions. This is what government always does. No mechanical, yes, no kind of response. Sorry? I guess from Zoom and then answer
the question. No, thanks. I'm not familiar with it myself. I think I need to put this thing into perspective, and the rationale why you have all these other areas in this, because the view that is being taken is that you cannot take one area in the town away. Those are being serviced by one municipality. And also to avoid some complication in terms of boundaries. If they're serviced by the municipality, then therefore all those areas then get affected, because the development is happening in the whole area. Then what you might end up doing, if you take the town in one area, is that other areas will be neglected. And you should be very irresponsible of other government if you do that. And I think it is on those bases why this approach has been taken. And we appreciate and hear the views of the people on the ground, but it must be sustainable as we move along in terms of our development agenda to come. Thank you.
Chair,
yeah.
Isn't it possible, Honourable Member Solo? Isn't it possible that you refer to possible, yeah. No, I think that the Honourable Member, yeah. I think the Honourable Member is correct that specific area is very strongly represented in this petition. But you'll also see that there are quite a number of signatories in other areas, you know, so that it is spread over the whole area, but that few pages definitely comes from that small area.
Well, as we understand it, the department tells us that they consulted people in those areas. Meetings were called to do that, and that people came to those meetings where they were free. And that the task team that you say is made of representatives come from those areas as well. As the mayor said yesterday, did you say that?
Yes.
I just want confirmation of that.
Yes, let me. What we did, we asked all the structures that are affected, because there are three. You've got the demarcation forum, which is there and well established. Then you have got another sector which includes all the civil organizations, including business and everybody. We have asked them to give us their details. We have asked now even the municipalities to give us information. So, and then we've got national departments and the provinces. So I've got a detailed list there, which is a long list of people that will be participating. And we made that request to the department so that we make sure everybody is represented in the committee as we deal with these issues. Now, I might not know exactly what happened internally as they are dealing with their own arrangements.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what, Chef? If you send me to go and consult people in Makwasi Hills, I'm the one who should lead you. Once you say Kokosi, then I tell you that no, Kokosi is on the other side of the river, and Makwasi Hills is on the other side of the river. You see? And Potestrum is on the other side. Now, it seems to me, Okuti, Ubabuntanadi, but it's not very sure of how, because Comrade Sorrow has persistently asked Ukuti, because it should be a very small place somewhere. He couldn't indicate whether it's in Fortville, whether it's in what as the areas appear on the map. Now, it really gives one a doubt to say, was the consultation really deeply, properly done? Or was a meeting, if a meeting is 30 kilometers away from you, sometimes you don't even have transport to go there, people on the grassroots. But if you call a meeting here in this part of parliament, Then you call the other one late after 2 hours there by the mountain. Then again you call another one at 3 down the side. Then you say you have consulted. But if you call one meeting, a central meeting here, some people, you know, they don't even go to that meeting because it's far, and then they start complaining that they were not consulted. So there's no way where you can resist, because you can see these people are one component. Because most of the people that we are talking about here were part of Kutsong when Kutsong was on strike. They were really full part of Kutsong, because most of the people that stay there, we know them. They are from our area in the northwest. That's why they are saying that. They only went to go Kutsong and go Kokosi there because they were working in the mines, or their parents were working in the mines. Then they settled there. You see? Now,
thank you, Chair. I hope I'm not taking it back. But listening to Mr. Ntlakane, I'm getting the view that they consulted stakeholders, like business, those kind of stuff, and they didn't consult with the community. That's the view that I'm getting. They consulted stakeholders, and different stakeholders have got different interests, and the community has also different interests from what a person to the community. So can you just give a chance that they consulted stakeholders, they didn't consult community, they didn't have community public meetings when they consulted stakeholders?
Let me put
then,
thank you, Chair. It is true, we did consult with the stakeholders, and we did talk to the community, Chair, and those who saw it on TV, people were there. And our arrangement as government is that you will always work together with the municipality and the province, because it's what we did to make sure that even they provide transport to those people to go to the stadium. When I went to the stadium, I didn't know the stadium myself, but I had followed the people that were going there. The stadium was full, Chair President, people were called. That's why we did speak to the public. But the first interaction with them was we started with the stakeholders on the ground who were concerned, who were talking to us. And we then made an arrangement, even for us to enter there, was to make sure that we clarify issues, because certain areas were local areas. So I went in first, before even the minister went there, to deal with the issues and talk to them. Even in Kutsong itself, we met with the communities there first as well. But when we went to a bigger meeting with the communities, it was on the 1st of December, and I think it was my first day formally in the department. So I must indicate that it was a baptism. But these are some of the, we did talk to the people, and people were there, and we arranged it with the municipality to make sure that everybody is there. But before then, there was a meeting with everybody, the stakeholders within the municipal chamber, where we met with everybody before we went to the stadium and spoke to the people on the ground. And I think we have done the part from our side, unless really there are people that were not there when we talked to the public.
Chair, this is really an addition. Even our own consultative process as well. Before we met with the three affected municipalities, leading up to that particular meeting, there were processes of consultation with the community. And as the mayor of Merafong yesterday confirmed, the area of Merafong, the municipality itself, consists of 26 wards. They have had engagements in each ward of those wards, including the 8 Kutsong wards and all of the other areas, Fokwell, etc. There were engagements at that level. So indeed, we got confirmation that indeed there was a process of consultation with the affected communities. Thank you.
Yes, Solo, and then Mayor Mohammed.
So, sir, we understand that there's a limit to all these things. Consult. I hear very nice words. We consulted, we talked, we speak, we met. There was a rally. That's very good. And you see, top of this wall. See, my constituency, which constitutes the whole local municipality, of mayor from another area has got only 10 wards. But I say with that alone, it's quite big, it's quite outstretched. And this is the thing, say, when you try to explain the kind of work you do from a constituency point of view, that should be looked at. The distances that one has to travel to meet, consult, talk to the people. I sometimes travel more than 50 kilometers. And have to entry on that corner. It's very costly, but that's not an issue here. An issue that you wanted to make sure of. Because this thing is written cocosi, that's what sparks up the argument. But before we understand that, I mean, we saw the running. I'm not going to ask for the attendance register. But with regard to consultation, talk, speak, it will be advisable at some point, so that when we defend our decision, at least we've got backup, material evidence to say, look, but Mr. Vice, you were one of the people in the community that was, but why now do you make such a question? Explain to me. I don't know whether those documents are available or were attendance registers taken so that we can cover our back, because I agree with Mark. We don't want to come back to this thing. We are happy that there was enough consultation, there was enough talking, there was enough speaking. There are 6 wards. We accept that. And we're not saying that some of these meetings should be conducted at the ward. We're not suggesting that. People have got different ways of talking to people. But also, there are activists in areas. See, when you see fetishes like this, we don't know how influential these people might be in terms of activism. So we must be able, when we engage with them, to say, look, these are the attendance register of those consultations and talks and speech. We even see your name sometimes, even if it's not there. But we are dealing, you see, sometimes we're a third world country, sometimes we're a developing country. When it comes to economics, no one is a developed country in order there. We must meet certain standards. So it's good. I mean, if you say to people in Britain, look, there's going to be a meeting, it's going to discuss demarcation, they all read papers. I was told at some point that people can ask you $10 just to buy a paper. You see, so they all read papers. Now we're dealing with a different kind of a situation. And that's why we have this little meeting. So I request, if that is possible, I'm not forcing anybody. Probably we have some form of a document that shows that there was consultation. And I'm satisfied here. Indeed, consultation has taken place. I've seen the rally myself. I've seen the rally. I'm satisfied with that aspect. But, you know, from that level of a first world country or developing country, probably there should be some covering evidence that said, yeah, we have this meeting. When Tonder was there, no meeting in every corner.
Salga. Did you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Chair, really, it's not a thing that we say the consultation was not done or was limited. But if you read some of these some of these submissions, like let's say Mr. Herman Kunde, was he in that meeting because he's a stakeholder? And was the culture because he was there, because they are stakeholders. Why now they were in the meeting, did they raise their views in the meeting? And what was the response to their views in that consultative meeting for them now to come back after a few days or hours and then make a petition and things? That's my first point. Two, Chairperson, the minutes of that meeting, do they state that the communities of Kuso, Portugal, Kokosu, Kusak, and Wedela, where most of them were in the meeting. Because Chairperson, relying on stakeholders, you are relying on dangerous people. Stakeholders are representing themselves. They are representing themselves from 0 to 10. They represent themselves. You can never see them calling a general meeting. You just see them going up and down with their cars and diaries, going up and down. But to say that there's a stakeholder meeting, that If it's a stakeholder meeting, then it's themselves like we are here. There is no community member there. That is my concern, Chairperson. Like the paragraph that says, the residents of Fort Virgo, Kosi, Greenstock, and Wedela have not at all been informed in detail of their proposed transfer to Tuatuati and Gauteng province. Nobody in national, provincial, or local government has seen the need to publicly inform us of the proposed transfer, the advantages and disadvantages, as well as the related consequences. Now, can somebody say that who was in a meeting? Will we be able, in a meeting, to can tell those people that they are about to transform it? You are complaining for nothing because you were in the meeting, yet you're putty, we were in such and such a place. Then there is another one that says, it seems to me that the ANC and the respective government departments are again, you see, these people are after something. And if we think we can overlook this case, then we are still going to go into a mess that has happened in Kuto. Unless there is somebody who is provoking that thing of Kuto must arise again in Fort Virgo, Kosi, and others. Then it says, following the same illegal and non-democratic avenues to enforce a political decision. Which led the way for an initiated the struggle of the residents of Kuto. The only difference this time around is that it is now being applied to Fort Virgo. They say the same thing that was done with Kuto. It's been done today. Now, how do we make sure that these people really were consulted? It's either that the consultation was not broad enough, according to this letter, or to say that Mr. Khrushchev is the one who is provoking this thing. Was he in the meeting? That's my main interest. Was he in that consultative meeting for him to turn his back again and write this letter? Maybe somebody else from somewhere after the meeting, after they had agreed, because when you say you have a consultant, it means they had agreed. There is nobody who ever stood in the meeting and said, no, we are against 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you, Chair.
You wanted to comment?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also need to add on what Honourable Member has said, with regard to the consultation. We've heard that there was a rally, and we actually don't know where that rally was. Maybe it was in Kuto, and that other places were not actually part of that rally. Because here, if you see, as Magumed has just indicated, the people of Fort Zeal and the people of Wedela are the people who are very much concerned. Another letter supporting Mr. Nell's letter is coming from Mr. Mwalusi. So it shows that, and they're also indicating that the people of, only the people of Kuto, Carltonville, and Velferdin, they wanted to go back to Gauteng. And those others, they don't want to go to Gauteng. It means that the half of the community wants to go to Gauteng, half wants to go to Northwest. So I think consultation needs to be conducted in those areas so that we can find out exactly we can have a final conclusion, because consultation is perceived in a different way. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other comments?
On this paper, there's a paragraph that says the businesses were established since 1900 when they were when they started coming to Kuto, there were businesses and things that were established. Those business people are the stakeholders. Why do they complain if they were in that meeting? Does it mean that they must now be called again and told to say, people, you were in a meeting and we spoke of this and that, here are the minutes, and we agreed upon this and that. It is funny today that you are writing such a thing. You see? If Umdanamo Unchanganepo is very sure of that, then he must do a follow-up to these people to say, because here it says we are eagerly waiting for your reply. You see? Eagerly. It confuses you to say, really, did somebody who we eagerly await your quick and positive feedback and response. It shows you clearly that there are going to be another uprising again.
Because I don't think that on our side there was an intention to discriminate against certain individuals, and I don't think that is an intention. What one is interested in is just to know whether those individuals are representing themselves or the community. Because the reason I'm raising this issue is because they are being the same as in forums. You can't say, no, I represent the people and I'm business, and you speak alone in your home. I mean, it's a fact-based problem for us to do that. But in terms of the list I have, those two individuals were not party to this particular meeting. That's why I'm able to read those that are there, and I've got an attendance register as far as that is concerned. But if really, during the next consultation, when the province are consulting, those people come forward, that would be appropriate. But I don't think that if people fail to make it to those consultations, then it's fine. They will get a second bite. But I don't think we should be blamed for people not pitching up to meetings, because it seems they are not here and they were not in those meetings, but we must take responsibility. And I think it would be unfair to push in the blame on the part of the government if it fails to do its work. I know we spend some time, some of us, we have been in marathon in and out, day in and day out, trying to make sure that people come forward. But if people are still convinced that there's nothing much that has been done, we are always available as public servants to do our work. But I don't think that on the basis of two people who are not in a particular meeting, we should then indicate that nothing was ever done. And I think that would be unfair on our part. But as public servants, we exist to talk to the people, and I think they will continue to use that opportunity.
Chair, may I just add something here, which is clearly in this submission. You know, when we decided against the cross-boundary municipalities and we tried a solution in this area, I spoke during those days with Mr. Groenewald, who is a member of the legislature of the DA. And of course, the people of Fochville were very happy with that decision because they were never part of Gauteng. So the way that it was done at that stage, of course, the people of Kutsong were very, very unhappy, but other areas were happy with what happened. So now you have just the other way around. And the big point that he is making here, for A, that Fochville, Kokosi, Green Park, and Wedela has never been part of Gauteng. So they feel, of course, now that there must be special consultation with them. They are the unhappy people now. We're rectifying the position as far as Kutsong is concerned, taking them back to Gauteng. But suddenly now they are confronted, people who's living in those areas who were never part of Gauteng, that they should also move. So we must just recognize that we must expect our problems or our discontent from these areas who were happy with the first decision that we took the other day and of course are now unhappy. And I don't know if the department can perhaps later give us a response of if they want to stick with the exact map as it is now or if there's any possibility that it could be changed in any way.
Thank you very much. I think our approach is once determined, twice fast. That's why we are raising this thing, so that we want to be clear on this matter. We are not saying that there were some intention to discriminate. We're not saying that. We want to close all the loose ends. We don't want to see a similar situation coming from a different point.
So I think people should have patience with us, particularly the department. They should have patience with us, because at the end of the thing, the whole thing is thrown to us, for now, members of parliament. It is true that there are areas that we find it very difficult to penetrate, because some of the decisions that we take sometimes don't enjoy the popular support we intended to have. But the matter, the fact of the matter is that, look, we are trying to close those ends. If Wedela, Fortville, and Kukosi, you see, that's I think Mamzi was trying to explain that. I mean, if you go to these areas, we must understand the circumstantial situation, the socio-economic circumstantial situation. We should not, we should not take for granted that we are like the British people in the first world country. It's fine from an economic point of view. But from a socialist point of view, then you've got to have different models. We must make sure that at least the word is spread quite equitably. If now, as the Honorable Member points out, the area of Wedela, Foxville, and Kokosi harboring certain sentiments, I think something has to be done. And this is what we wanted to know from the department, that whether these communities were actually active participants in those consultations. That's what we want to know. It's as simple as that. If we do not know, we can say, we do not know. We'll check with the local municipality, we'll check with the ward councillor, and sometimes I said yesterday that I know some of the ward councillors are not staying there. They're not welcome there. What mechanism are made to connect those ward councillors? There was no clear answer, except for a technical, diplomatic, and in terms of the big books that we read, we give those answers. Let us for once be realistic and say, no, we're not aware that the Stockfield down the road, there was Wedela, the other side, and Kokosi. Probably we need to correct that. I'm not saying it's necessary. That's what we want to know, so that the decisions we take can be defended. You see, we're not blaming anybody.
Yeah.
What we seek to know, because of this petition, give us clarity. If you do not know, it's easy to say we do not know. We'll check and make sure that at least there is some form of meeting with these people and explain the circumstances. But it's coming quite clearly that these three areas under one municipality, seemingly there are doubts whether they've been part of the process. Let's clear those doubts. Let's do something. I think we've got that capacity to do so. Whether we argue that the NCOP will take care of that or not, what you wanted to be clear at all was that in the first process, where they part an active participant in that process, so that the NCOP represented here can take note of that and do something to ensure that we get the clarity we're trying to seek. Thank you very much.
You know what, sir? I would, a lot of people who are not politicians, which happens that they feel and not feel. One person can damage the whole of Cape Town, poison the whole of Cape Town, unless you've got something to neutralize that person. Now, it's two people. But here are the partitions, more over 100. Nobody has to go spread either. If you yakhe yena mangabe kuyithina was the mayor there, the ward councillor were Groenewald State, the ward committee, the CDWs were they there, because they are the people who must guide the whole community to say, people, look here, we cannot be separated from Kutu because we are just 5 kilos away from it. Yes, at this time we are just 2 kilos away from there. Let us now sit and consider, because government cannot take Magunete here to Johannesburg and then take Okomele to Northwest and Okomele Ngaleka there to East Rand, and then also, you see, but we are in one. Now, these stakeholders that Umtana Ekulmangas are the people who must give guidance to the whole
community. Now, makuyibona labo ke aba complainayo, it gives one, you know, a doubt to say, Mari, my consultation was done, but it wasn't enough. Yeah, maybe I consulted the wrong people of Kutong, taking them for Nera, for Wedela and what and what. That is so difficult to please people to correct the situation before it bursts into something else again. Jefferson, that's my worry.
You've made your point. I'm going to wrap up now. Thanks, Chapasena. I'm sorry to say, I was thinking whether, if we are talking about consultation, did the department have a specific area? Who are supposed to be consulted? Because what I know, sometimes you describe the value that people must come, they who are interested,
mm-hmm.
so that they can make their input in that particular area. Because sometimes you go, like the NCOP, we go to the area to listen to the submission. And you make sometimes you demarcate, you say from here we'll go to that one, from there. And you find that the same very people, they'll go there making the same submission. And then when you move to the other area, they are being transported to that area with the same submission. And you move, I'll tell you, from Pochestin to Newcastle, you find the very same people who are in Pochestin, they come to Newcastle to submit. Maybe you have to define when you are doing this consultation. Yes. Whom do you consult? Let's say we are saying, let's go for referendum. Who is supposed to vote? Because I think if we just say consultation and we don't know exactly who are supposed to be consulted. Because if I hear talking here, maybe there are other people who do not belong to that area, but who want to do something, then do you call it a consultation, even those who are outside that area which is supposed to be consulted? That's what I wanted, just a picture. If we are saying we are consulting, whom are we consulting? Is it only the affected areas or the neighbors as well?
All right, thank you very much. Say that yesterday, in response to this question, we were expressly told by the mayor as part of the delegation of Sarawak that they consulted in the 26th ward. Now, the quality and the depth of that consultation, we don't have the response to. We hear them tell us that this is what happened there. We must go and consider what we have heard so far. The department says it has held meetings in those areas, interacted with stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
so on, and that they brought a result to us, broadly supportive of the legislation. We also have a petition here of people who say, these people are saying that they object to the bill. Those who say some of the stuff here in this area here in the petition. Now, what we must do is to come back later and weigh all the factors that we have here, listen to and so on, and make decisions about the process going forward. And I suggest that we do that we are going to go back into the house, we are going to adjourn this meeting so that we reconvene immediately after the president finishes his reply to the debate, and then we'll come back here. I think it will take about an hour. And then after that, we will reconvene in the same venue to proceed with looking at the legislation, maybe technically look at loss by loss, and consider any other additional political questions around this question, the legislation, and the procedure that we must follow. and perhaps to also give party caucuses to go and consider what they have said to begin the process of promoting that. We may have to conclude the consideration of the bill tomorrow. We may have to conclude the consideration of the bill tomorrow. I'm just conveying the possibility. So let's go and think about what we have had, consider the various issues we have had of the various consultations in the area. So one of the issues that Salga raised, which the department responded to yesterday, I don't know how come they missed, about other areas not here that are not informed. We were informed that the consultation is taking place in those areas because there isn't unanimity in those areas. This is the response that the department gave yesterday. Is that correct? Okay. This is what they told us yesterday. So when we inquired about what are the wider implications of this thing, there are other areas that also feel that they should be part of this process. But on the grounds that perhaps there are just differences, consultations going on there, so that they can be dealt with a little later on. So on those grounds, let's come back here immediately after the president finishes his address. Members, there are others who are not here. Please let's make sure that they are all here. Members, our chiefs, and so on. Don't disappear anywhere else. We want all of you here so that we manage the process properly. So, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Sorry? Okay, the time I'm instructed to say 3 o'clock. Yeah, and members, there is lunch at the Old Assembly restaurant. So, you are invited for that. 12:30. I'm told the finger lunch will be here at 12:30.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, I forgot there are strangers out there. The 22nd of April.
Oh,
not yeah, 22nd of April, yeah. So that's the date. President said that this proclamation will be done later. Later, I don't know what later. Proclamation day. Yeah, that's what I was talking about being done in English. So I hear you. Yeah. Look, the bill before us is a fairly short bill, and we have discussed just to say that. The constitutional amendment bill 16 will be handled by justice. We've been working together, and the idea is that we will handle it together. And so on. So they will lead on that thing. But essentially, in looking at that, this committee will be looking at the cross-boundary municipal laws. Related matters of amendment. And so I am putting that before us today to look at it. We have not received any written submission specifically on any clauses of the bill. Has the department received any such? No. And Luvo, we haven't received any as a committee or the committees yourself. We haven't received any on the substance of the bill. No amendment to any of the clauses there. Okay. So essentially they remain the same. And so what it means is that having discussed the politics around the bill, I can just say to you that as part of our consent earlier on, I also sort of thought I should speak to the MEC for local government in Gauteng, which I did, and basically confirmed the report that we have been receiving from the department about consultation with people from all the areas stated there, representatives from those areas. So that's basically the picture. I just thought I should say that so that you know. We're trying to speak to everyone to ensure that clearly the additional work that the NCOP will have to do on this matter is the most significant one. Just to remind members that the NCOP has a veto, provinces rather, has veto on any bill that relates to the Constitution. So both Gauteng and Northwest in this instance will have that veto. So this is why, as I said yesterday, that our earlier consideration of the similar bill before, we wrote to each of the provinces saying to them that this is what we have received. We request you to take on board the submissions when we do this. In our view, we find that the legislation is before us can go ahead. That's what we said there. So I invite members to sort out their caucus position so that tomorrow we can deal with the legislative to apply clause and complete. Any different view to that, members?
Yeah, Chair, now I asked a question this morning whether the map cannot be changed, that we accede to those who want to stay northwest and also accede to those who want to go to Gauteng. The department hasn't answered me whether that was considered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they took the whole municipality and they shifting it, yes. And it became very clear from what we received that, to my mind, as I sit here, that if we take an overall referendum, the impression that we got, that the majority feels that will it be a majority vote in favour if we take the whole area to go back. But if we split it up and we take only only Kusong and Carltonville to vote it, and Gauteng and the rest remain in Northwest, that will be more suitable to what the people are asking. It is not clear if the two separate referendums would be held, that that won't be the outcome. So I just want to ask them, can they comment on that they considered it?
Can I just respond to that directly? I unsolicited, the MEC, Masang, Kretan Masang, told me that some people from those areas that you are talking about warned the minister that if they dare separate the area that are close to one another, they'll be inviting additional trouble. So if they are moving the area to, changing boundaries in the way they do, they must take the area as a whole,
yeah.
Because it is a single entity. This is what residents or representative of residents in those meetings said to have. Now, I would, unless the department contradicts me, they have a pleasure to do so. Nothing will happen to you. You know we have no authority over you. Only the minister can fire you. So you can contradict me if you so wish. Is that the case?
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay. Yes, I she said it unsolicited. It struck me as you asked that question that in fact you're right, that you followed it up. Because sometimes the department does that. They keep quiet to avoid saying certain things and so on. So good. I like it when you catch them up. thanks for doing that. But I did ask, and that's the response I got. Now, presumably, these issues will be further addressed when after consultation by the at the spot in the area by the NCOP. Okay, so we would assume that that will satisfy the requirement. In our as a broad areas of issues, there are issues that the demarcation board has raised, to which the department has reacted, which we must ourselves as a committee deal with. My request is that those issues as presented to us, we must also consider them for reporting on, not for purposes of legislation. The clarity we have received about the IEC compliance and so on, those have been clarified. But those areas, those issues that require work later on, we should include them in our report for work to be followed by the parliamentary committee in future, so that some of the wider implications that we are speaking about, there are quite a number of them that we identified in the process of discussion. There might well be others that need to be taken on board. Let me cite one. JB is not here, Honorable Member Ntibanyoni from the Justice Portfolio Committee. Raise the experience of Bushbuck Ridge, that even after a long period of time, some of the issues that were meant to have been done, there was a problem of their implementation because of ostensibly poor oversight on implementation of those protocols in those areas. In fact, the People's Parliament that was in Woodburg, which people raised that issue. And so presumably what it says to us as a lesson in what we are undertaking is that Parliament must specifically pay attention to dedicated oversight on these and all the other areas affected for implementation of agreed protocols by government, so that they are seen to be implemented. Not just by the NCOP as the law requires, as you said earlier on, but generally the committees that relate to this issue, that have processed this thing, is part of the program of action to ensure full implementation. I did mention that the panel that reviewed Parliament, one of their recommendations that I do agree with others, their questions, is for the department in bringing legislation to us to outrightly outline the implications of these bills at a variety of levels, so that we are satisfied that they've done sufficient scanning of the legislative, financial, social, and political consequences of the lawmaking process. The lawmaking process affects behavior badly of institutions, of individuals in those institutions, and if we don't so to speak, do them thoroughly, as you suggested, we will run the risk of creating problems. So this is the one point that I thought we should be strong on in the report that we make to Parliament. I think the other issue that requires our consideration in the report relates to the interconnectedness of this area and the other area. So there's an interconnection there. There are wider political implications. This one is would be the committees meeting together for government to take on board those issues like speeding, so that in future it doesn't appear as a piecemeal approach, but in the way it is presented and handled, we have substantial information presented to us that show this consultation. I did say, and it is reflected in your memorandum, the formal memorandum to the legislation, that if yes, if you look at the bill, the cross-boundary municipal bill, to refer to, and the page, what page is it? Page 6. Bodies and organizations consulted. Now, we must insist that in such submissions, in such memoranda, must be a reflection of how people have been, with how communities have been, and community organizations and organs of civil society, etc., have been consulted. What you have there is internal government consultation, which is good. It's appropriate that an integrated approach to government is taken. But beyond that, constitutional requirements require us to report that to the department itself, but even us as the committee have consulted. So there's no reason why we should continue to exclude it in our reporting, in government itself, in reporting to parliament, excluding consultation with communities in the documentation that comes before us. So that's one very concrete, specific change that must occur in the memoranda that we receive, that accompany that legislation. I have found in my interaction with the department that in instances such as this one of consultation, if upfront you receive a documented consultation, now the people who are here from the department are fresh, very new, except a few of them. The problem with regime change. just recently, it's under six months. We, in our interaction with the department, we extracted from the department a very good document outlining consultations that took place. But we had to probe and extract it from the department like we've been doing from Sagane. We almost lost his teeth in the process of this discussion, extracting from him whether he consulted, how wide was the consultation, and so on and so on. He could have saved himself the pain if there was a document that outlines the process that they understood, who was present and so on, so that we formally are informed. It is not taken for granted, or it is assumed that it has been done, because we do not make those assumptions in looking at legislation. We want explicit indication that it has happened. It's not just because the court has said so. It's in the Constitution. It requires us to do this. This is how we're supposed to work. So we do request you, humbly, to include in your memoranda that accompanies legislation to the committee, to Parliament generally, that section that speaks to that area of work. That's one specific one in the report that you should include. Honourable members, having said that, is there anybody who wants to say any other thing in how we should approach this additionally? Anything that you think requires the legacy issue in the report to be included for consideration in the future?
Thank you, Chairperson. They always say who came last got the same prize with those who started in the morning.
And there's nothing wrong with being combat ready.
They always say,
yes.
Chairperson,
yes.
I want to iterate on your last statement,
yes,
in consultation.
Yes.
The problem, if I may speak on my area,
yeah,
there was a statement that the COCOC felt that they were not consulted.
Yeah.
Now, how widely are these messages going far?
Hmm.
I think we need to emphasize whoever is actually bringing this information to the attention of the community.
Yes.
Every township that is involved in that area, I'm talking about now Rafong City. Any person who actually belongs to that must know what is going to take place, so that when we consult, we don't find ourselves as only probably consulted with the people of Kuto. Then the other areas in the neighboring woods are not consulted. I think we need to have that in sending out the messages. I even suggest that when it comes to us in the NCOP, I think we need to have two separate days where we'll go to COCOC, because I think COCOC will cover all other areas there, then Kutong will cover all other areas in the neighborhood, because if you bring them together, I don't think we'll have the adequate time to have everyone, unless they will make the submission, written submission.
Earlier on, I said there's no risk in you being combat ready, saying it's right. Now I regret having said so. But thank you. It just embellishes what you said earlier on. What the NTOP does, really, it is up to your creativity. The limitation will be your imagination. Okay. We appreciate your input. The legal advisor, do you have any comments to make to us?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Johan Mettler from Salga. Just on the implementation of the bill and the implementation date, I think you're quite correct when you said that the bill itself is fairly short, you know, and fairly uncontroversial. But I think the committee must also have its eye on the principle bill, on the principle act. Because I think in the principle act, when it comes to the implementation dealing, especially with the transitional matters, there the implementation date becomes important, because if certain matters have not been done, for example, if an implementation protocol has not been entered into by the implementation date, then the NCOP comes in to fix that point. So the date between whenever the constitutional amendment is signed off and the work being done currently in order to get all the technical information in place, that will become very important. In 2005, there was about 3 months before the bill was implemented that the provinces had time to do preparatory work to identify staff assets and liabilities that would have to ship from one province to the next, etc. And there would need to be a similar period for implementation purposes. Otherwise, the bill will be passed, but it will be
virtually
to help that. Thanks.
For implementation. Thank you. That's a very important point. We will take it on board. And you see, okay, I can say this because of you. Okay, I'm going to say it here. One of the requirements that we want to have is right up front, they must say it unmediated by the diplomat. As voice of local government, if it doesn't come from you, then you haven't said local government. So right from the beginning, this is the line that you come up with. Very strongly that points out all the key issues that from our collective experience, you represent the voice of. So that point is crucial for that reason, in that it then lays the basis for our work. So thank you very much for that point of issue. Members, any other comments? DA? ANC? I say Banari. Thank you very much. Tomorrow, the venue will be at 12A. NTOP week at 10 o'clock. We will do it very quickly, even if you have other work elsewhere. Come, please, let's finish the work promptly so that we do that. I hope we won't have too much quibbling about the report. Thank you very much.